Joining us now, our great friend, Senator Risch. Senator Risch, how you been?
Good. And yourself?
Not bad. You know, I was impressed when Rex Tillerson was before the Senate, and just your kind comments to him. What was that like, hearing the questioning and answering, and then having a chance to give him some words of encouragement and to find out the direction we're going in?
Well, you know, I didn't know Mr. Tillerson before this whole process started, but we got to know each other during the process. I talked with him a number of times, and I was that was early on in the cabinet construction that Trump was involved in, and so a lot of us were a little nervous about how the cabinet would be put together. He's been an unconventional president, which is what America wanted, and which is fine, and which will serve us well, I believe. But having said that, there are certain things that there are ways of doing them, and obviously a cabinet is really important because the president can't deal with everything themselves. So Tillerson was one of the first ones that came down the pike, and I didn't know him. I had an open mind on it, and I was just incredibly impressed with the person that he chose to do that job. And he's that the particular position that he was appointed to, that of Secretary of State, is a person that's got to have lots of attributes that are important to doing diplomacy. And I was incredibly impressed with his even-temperedness, even when a lot of other people might have been a little worked up when he got poked. He didn't do that. He carefully navigated his answers through there. The language that diplomats speak is different than what is spoken on the street every day. And he, even though he'd been in the oil business all his life and perhaps in some rough and tumble meetings, I was incredibly impressed with how just his diction and how he carried himself in a diplomatic way was on display in his confirmation hearing. And he sat there for hours and answered questions with no – unlike almost everybody that comes in, but no papers of any kind, no folders, no cheat sheets, no paper, no pencil, nothing. He just sat there, took the questions, and answered them. I was incredibly impressed.
Senator Risch with us here at 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Senator, how has the culture, or has the culture of Washington changed with former President Obama out and President Trump in?
I don't know if cultures are the right word. I mean, the culture is the culture. Culture doesn't change very quickly or very easily. I can tell you, though, it's a different way of doing business here, and the town is very different than what it was. The people are different. The dialogue is different, and the good news is that the Republicans have the White House, the House, and the Senate. The bad news is the Republicans have the White House, the House, and the Senate. We've got to deliver on the promises we made. We work at it every day. We're rolling up our sleeves, and the discussion is how can we get these things done and deliver for the American people. We ask them to do this for us, and we owe them a great gratitude, and we owe them our heart and our soul to try to make this thing work.
Now, Senator, before we get to the State of the Union, we've got three people already running for governor. I'm wondering if you're going to jump in.
That's not going to happen. I had the incredible honor of serving as Idaho's 31st governor. I loved it. Wouldn't trade it for anything. The First Lady and I just really, really enjoyed that time in our lives, and we think we move the ball down the field for Idaho, and but it's time for someone else to do that. I'm you know, it takes a long time here in the U.S. Senate to get to where you have the influence that you need to move things along. And I'm 49th in seniority here now. I'm number two on the Intelligence Committee and the Foreign Relations Committee. I'm number three on Energy and Natural Resources. I'm the chairman of the Small Business and Entrepreneurial Committee. I'm on the Ethics Committee. I mean, that's a portfolio that a lot of people spend a lot of years here to accumulate. So I think I'm doing the best I can do for Idaho people right here.
Senator,
but that's nice of you. Nice of you to ask. Well, I appreciate it.
Well, we thought we'd bring you back, but Senator, let's talk about the joint address to Congress last night. Your thoughts being there, watching it, going back and forth, the agenda.
Well, I was sitting about 20 feet away, I was incredibly impressed with the pivot that I think he made last night. He spoke like a president. He acted like a president. He carried himself like a president. We were quite concerned that there was going to be a raucous town hall type meeting atmosphere there with a lot of protesters, because a number of the Democrats, you're only allowed one ticket. I mean, there's 435 members of Congress. Each one gets a ticket. I'm assuming the president gets a handful of tickets, and it's a pretty big crowd. Well, what you do with that ticket's important. Most of the time, people give the ticket to their spouse, sometimes to a staffer if they've got some particular issue that's going on. But what the Democrats did last night is they distributed him to a number of people who were dissidents, and so we thought maybe that was going to take place. There was only one time, I think, in the speech when there was a little bit of grumbling, but I think, you know, he commands quite a presence when he walks in the room, and he is the president of the United States. He had that presence before he was president of the United States. Well, you know, when you become president, whoever you are, you do carry a presence with you that is bigger than all outdoors. And he brought that into the room, and I'm not so sure that there wasn't stuff planned, and that they just backed down from it, because the speech was a very classic State of the Union speech. I mean, he talked about what he'd done, which all presidents do, and he talked about what his vision for America was, and it was a vision, and he enunciated it such that there was very little for people to disagree with there. I mean, the Democrats, I imagine, were quite uncomfortable. They'd all agreed, apparently, to sit on their hands, not clap and not give them a standing ovation when the president said something they agreed with, because they got up very seldom during the speech. And I suspect they were pretty uncomfortable, because, you know, the president was talking about trying to make peace in America and bring people together and resolve the issues that are plaguing us, particularly in some spots.
Senator Jim Risch with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. Senator, your thoughts on the Obamacare challenge?
Well, you know, challenge is an appropriate description of what we have in front of us. You know, first of all, let me say this. We didn't cause this problem. Not one Republican voted for this wreck that's happened. And the basics are, when Obama was elected, both parties were talking about health care reform. Republicans were talking about cost containment. Democrats were talking about coverage. At that time, there were, when I say coverage, I mean the people, the number of people covered. At that time, 87% of Americans were covered. Obama wanted to get it to 100% of coverage. When I say 87%, I mean they're covered by some type of health care policy. He wanted to get it to 100%. They couldn't get all the D's on board because of, well, I mean, it was simply a giant leap towards socialism, and particularly with the cost. So instead, they settled on a plan to try to move the needle 7%, which would take you from 87% to 94%. And that was their goal. They didn't get it done. They got about half of it done. They insured about 3% more than what was the 87% that we started with, and that was at a cost of $2 trillion, plus a complete upset of the healthcare delivery system. What we want to do now is we want to restore the free market aspects, the American type aspects to this industry. And it is a challenge, because this should be done by healthcare professionals. It shouldn't be done by politicians. But because of the fact that the government has waded into this with the huge social safety net programs of Medicare and Medicaid, and the government pays so much for it, they have no choice really but to do this. So in any event, we're still going to try to put people back in charge of their own health care, give the insurance companies the ability to write a policy that that they want to offer to the public, give the public the ability to go out and say, I want to buy this policy, and not have somebody say, well, you can't buy that. The government won't let you buy that. Well, you know, this is America. People should be able to buy any kind of policy they want to buy, whether it's a $10,000 deductible or a $100 deductible. Companies ought to be able to write it, and people ought to be able to buy it. And so we're what it's going to look like, I can't say. I will say this, it's certainly not going to be perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We are committed to fixing it. There's a lot of people who want to turn the battleship around immediately. You can't turn a battleship or an aircraft carrier around immediately. It takes some time. It took them 8 years to stand this up, 3,000 pages of legislation, tens of thousand pages of regulations. To turn that around is difficult. It's going to be time consuming but we can do it. We're up to it, and we're committed to it. We promised we'd do it. Again, we didn't cause this problem, but we are committed to fix it.
Senator, finally, your thoughts on more military funding and how to afford it, sir?
Well, there has been a lot of discussion about the spending. I, like everybody else up here, I think, is waiting to see exactly what they are going to spend it on. There are always lobbies for any issue there is that want more money, and obviously you like to deliver more money, but it's like our own homes and everything else. There's only so much. There is only so much available. So we're waiting to see what the details are and where it's going to go. Something's got to change as far as what we're doing militarily around the world. He, I think, shares the same view I do, and that is that, look, there's certain things that we have to do that are in our national interest, but we can't be the policeman of the world that every time something happens that we run in and try to resolve it. Having said that, we have a huge problem with ISIS, which is the successor to Al-Qaeda, and they want to kill us. They'll do it on our airplanes. They'll do it on our soil. They'll do it in our allies' countries around the world, and we can't continue to do what we're doing. I mean, we've been picking at the edges, and either we ought to quit doing anything and just get out of it, or we ought to go in and get it done and get it over with. And I think that the president thinks the latter is the appropriate route to go. I think most American people agree that. That we do need to do that. So it'll be interesting to see where he takes us in that regard. But he's been busy, obviously, with mostly with domestic things since he's taken office. And I know in the White House, you read all these stories about the chaos in the White House. Don't believe it. We deal with those people all the time, and I'm absolutely convinced that they have a plan to move forward. They're working hard at it. Sometimes they take a step and you have to take a step back. But when that happens, the national media jumps up and down and says, oh, see, look, it's chaos. That just isn't the case. I know a lot of the people that have gone to work up there as they're standing up this government, and there's a lot of them I have absolute confidence. You put people like Jeff Sessions up there as Attorney General. I know Jeff really, really well. He knows how to do this. He knows how to run a government, how to run an agency, and he's going to make us proud. He took a number of his staff with him, people I know. They're going to move forward, but it's going. Everybody wants instantaneous, but that's not the way it's done.
Senator Risch, we appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Kevin, nice to talk to you as always.
All right, you have a great day.
All right, bye now.